Success by Lord Beaverbrook. Preface. The articles embedded in this small book were written during the pressure of many other affairs, and without any idea that they would be published as a consistent whole. It is, therefore, certain that the critic will find in them instances of a repetition of the central idea. This fact is really a proof of a unity of conception, which justifies their publication in a collected form. I set out to ask the question, what is success in the affairs of the world? How is it attained? And how can it be enjoyed? I have tried with all sincerity to answer the question out of my own experience. In so doing, I have strayed down many avenues of inquiry, but all of them lead back to the central conception of success as some kind of temple which satisfies the mind of the ordinary practical man. Other fields of mental satisfaction have been left entirely outside as not germane to the inquiry. I address myself to the young men of the new age. Those who have youth also possess opportunity. There is in the British Empire today no bar to success which resolution cannot break. The young clerk has the key of success in his pocket, if he has the courage and the ability to turn the lock which leads to the temple of success. The wide world of business and finance is open to him. Any public dinner or meeting contains hundreds of men who can succeed if they will only observe the rules which govern achievement. A career today is open to talent, for there is no heredity in finance, commerce, or industry. The succession and death duties are wiping out those reserves by which old-fashioned banks and businesses warded off from themselves for two or three generations the result of heredity and competence. Ability is bound to be recognized from whatever source it springs. The struggle in finance and commerce is too immense and the battle too worldwide to prevent individual efficiency playing a bigger and better role. If I have given encouragement to a single young man to set his feet on the path which leads upwards to success, and warned him of the few perils which will beset him on the road, I shall feel perfectly satisfied that this book has not been written in vain. Chapter 1. Success. Success. That is the royal road we all want to tread, for the echo of its flagstones sounds pleasantly. It gives to man all that the natural man desires, the opportunity of exercising his activities to the full, the sense of power, the feeling that life is a slave, not a master, the knowledge that some great industry has quickened into life under the impulse of a single brain. To each his own particular branch of this difficult art. The artist knows one joy, the soldier another. What delights the businessman leaves the politician cold. But however much each section of society abuses the ambitions or morals of the other, all worship equally at the same shrine. No man really wants to spend his whole life as a reporter, a clerk, a subaltern, a private member, or a curate. Downing Street is as attractive as the oak leaves of the field marshal. York and Canterbury as pleasant as a dominance in Lombard Street or Burlington House. For my own part, I speak only of the field of success I know, the world of ordinary affairs. And I start with a contradiction in terms. Success is a constitutional temperament bestowed on the recipient by the gods. And yet you may have all the gifts of the fairies and fail utterly. Man cannot add an inch to his stature, but by taking thought he can walk erect. All the gifts given at birth can be destroyed by a single curse. Like all human affairs, success is partly a matter of predestination and partly of free will. You cannot make the genius, but you can either improve or destroy it. And most men and women possess the assets which can be turned into success. But those who possess the precious gifts will have both to hoard and to expand them. What are the three qualities which make for success?